Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now time to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemy. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
2 in the books, 1 to go. Final hour of the show on a Friday afternoon. And we normally do our toast of the week at this portion of the program. Jeremy, I will raise a glass to you and hope you get better soon as you get ready to call some basketball this weekend. But my Stella Rosa Cranberry is on the menu today as I raise a glass. It's a little tart, a little tangy. You can't get any better than that. Give yourself a boost of the day with this sweet, sparkling wine from Stella Rosa. I raise a glass to my good friend DJ Bienemy because of the fact that he's not just going to do one segment. You get a double banger. 2 segments of DJ on a Friday, and to that, I raise a glass, and I will salute one, Brian.
I will raise a glass and make my toast to the Rockets' big game tonight against Oklahoma City. It's been a fun start to the season, and I'm glad we have meaningful Rockets basketball in this city again after they went away for a few years.
There you go. All right. DJ, you're not going to raise a glass to anybody because that's as crotchety as you can get.
Yeah. I mean,
it's very tasty, by the way.
I don't drink. Why didn't you put your pinky up?
Because I'm not foo-foo.
You gotta stick your pinky up. That's
now,
what you
the
call
sheet
class.
Says this is perfect to share with a few loved ones or just yourself, which is what you can do when you love regardless.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I don't drink wine, though, man. Why not?
But I mean, you love yourself.
I do love myself.
There you go.
But, you know, more people in this world should love themselves.
Well, agreed.
Yeah. It's a healthy thing.
And Texas fans should love them, are going to need to love themselves. After Sunday
yeah, let's
night.
Get into that.
You calling for a blowout?
Enough of this foo-foo. Let's raise a finger. Well, no, it's not yet. Let's talk about this Texans game and what a lot of people have raised a finger to was the Jets game.
Yeah.
And since then, I'm sure your job has been made easier by the fact that social media has been completely calm and not worried or concerned at all about the offensive line or anything to do with our favorite football team. But this is a chance to get back on the national stage, set the record right, set the tone, and make amends for what happened Thursday night on a short week. The big question to me is we hear the comments coming out of camp this week. We hear everybody talking. But we don't even know what the changes might be or who is actually going to fill in for Kenyon Green, do we?
I mean, if Jared Patterson is good to go, he'll fill in. I think that was pretty easy.
But wait a minute now. If they're keeping it this secret, Jeremy and I were talking about this earlier, is there not, and the fact that they would not say no to the chance that they could move Titus. You don't think that that's a possibility?
I think it's on the table. I think it's on the table. I just feel like on the offensive line, Ty doesn't want to play left guard, though. That's the thing.
We know that. But again, if you're Jeremy Branham, you don't care about feelings.
Yeah, for sure. But again, like, is Blake Fisher...
That's right, where I'm at.
Is Blake Fisher a better right tackle than Jared Patterson is at left guard? You know, that's a fair question.
It is.
You know, because again, but I will say this, though, and I think the way the NFL is looking, the way the NFL is changing, like, hey, I would rather have the interior of my offensive line stout versus my tackles. Like, if your guy has good pocket presence like CJ does, I'd rather have a great interior offensive line or from a pass blocking standpoint compared to, you know, with so-so tackles versus really good tackles and so-so to below-average interior offensive line. Because the way teams are looking like now, you can really, really affect the quarterback with stunts, games, things of that nature, and you can re-throw them off because pressure's in their face. that they're going to drop their eyes, and now instead of trying to get the ball downfield, they're over here worried about what's literally in front of them versus if it's to the side and peripheral. If they're good enough, they've trained themselves to be able to feel it and move while keeping their eyes downfield.
DJ, what do you feel like the confidence is in the building right now that they fixed some of their offensive line issues? I mean, they put Chris Strasser out there to talk to the media. They've been saying seemingly since week one, like, we know what the problem is. We know the stunts are giving us issues, but the same things keep happening. Like, do you feel like they have a confidence that they're closer to getting this fixed?
I think the confidence is solid. Because I think at this point, right, we're in week 10, mm-hmm. still an issue. Mm-hmm. So for me, if we're in week 10, still a problem, you know, confidence goes down as time progresses. If a problem is still persisting, the confidence is going to start to wane just a little bit, you know. It feels like it's a little bit of coaching, a little bit of personnel. I feel like they can't do anything right in that aspect at times, right, because you go into the Jets game, who comes up with the idea to single block Quinnen Williams with Kenyon Green? I don't even think Kenyon Green is probably happy about that.
No. How can you be?
Yeah, it's like, wait, what? Like, because think about it from his perspective, he's getting chewed out all the time. So if it's like, yo, y'all chewing me out, I'm not doing my job. Obviously, I know I'm not doing as playing as well as I need to play. I've been benched. Why would now you guys ask me to now block?
How do you
Kenyon
feel you
Green
can get right against one of the best DTs in the game?
Yeah, one on one by myself. Like, I get it. Like, I'm an NFL player, but still, like, that's not a recipe for success for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if there's plenty of time, you see like a really, really good right tackle going against a really good edge rusher, and they still have a tight end to chip block, a running back to chip block. Like, you think Lane Johnson, if he goes against TJ Watt, the Eagles aren't going to send a tight end at him, have a running back chip at him? Of course they are, because it's still T.J. Watt. And if you mess up, because the thing with O-line and offensive line play, right, if they mess up, it could ruin the entire game, right? So why even put that on the table? You know, I remember I was doing my TV thing with Pep and Chance, and Pep on, you know, air, he mentioned how when he used to be the Colts offensive coordinator, every time they played the Texans, he got a call from Jim Irsay, and Jim Irsay would always say, the game plan is to double team J.J. Watt, right? And, you know, and it's not like, you know, I'll grant the Colts didn't have a good offensive line during his tenure there with Andrew Luck, but still, even if they did, you always got to send extra help that win. So the fact that they didn't send extra help to Kenyon Green is insanity, because they did it the week before with DeForest Buckner, so why aren't you doing that with Kenyon Green, you know? So
you can catch DJ at the KPRC2 app and the KPRC2 Plus live stream. Whatever he and Chancellor Johnson and Pep Hamilton do talking football.
I appreciate the
home
shout
of
out.
Lisa Hernandez. On top of that, DJ, again, there's a lot of coach speak coming out.
Of course.
A lot of fluff that I don't like. Yeah, the fact that Caseria went out with Vandermeer and Johnny and basically was like, I mean, the trade deadline, it's for teams. One guy's not going to change everybody. One guy could have changed it to some degree, because to your point, which I've been harping on too, this hasn't gone away in a week or two. It was started with the penalties. It started with the tonsillitis. And then it's gotten all the way to the point that here we are in week 10. And you can't tell me that there isn't some veteran out there that might be at least serviceable, because as you and we all three of us talked about, and it came to fruition, Kendrick Green can't play dead. And he's on the roster. Yeah. So even if you found depth that could have helped you.
Right.
That coupled with the fact that we're still talking about the line, and we got a 6-3 team that people are talking about like they're one of the worst teams in the league, it's extremely frustrating.
Yeah, and I get the anger. I get the anguish. I get all of that. I do semi-agree with Nick about it, because I'm of the mindset, if there is somebody available that's worth, that's quality, that you could put at left guard, they wouldn't be available. I'm pretty staunch in that.
Nate Davis in Chicago. Baltimore had his name is, but they had the guy that used to be a starter, and then the numbers game he got left out.
Used to be a starter,
but at the same time, they're better than Kendrick Green
for sure. But I don't think you put in any of those guys, like, it's gonna change the issues that they're having. You know, because again, like, their issues is more of a chemistry communication issue. So if they're having a chemistry communication issue, bringing in somebody else that has no chemistry or communication with these guys and trying to build that on the fly, I don't know if that's going to improve it that much to an extent. I think that you got to come up with better plans. really, really improved their communication. But again, like, there's times where Kendrick Green just, you know, unfortunately can't block some of the guys in front of him either. So, I mean, I think what the issue is, they didn't do enough in the offseason to improve their interior offensive line. So that's the big issue. They banked on Juice and they banked on Kenyon Green getting way better, and those guys haven't gotten much better. Honestly, I feel like, well, Kenyon Green didn't play last year, but is he that much better than he was his rookie year? Not necessarily, right? So I think that's kind of where they banked on and where they kind of came up short, and they tried to hit a home run on that and they missed.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of on what you just said, DJ, we've heard some audio from guys like Chris Sims. There's been a lot of, like, wild speculation about the Texans and, like, how they're handling protection. Sims went as far as to say they're not teaching CJ protections. There's been a question back and forth. Is it CJ? Is it Juice calling the protections? Which would kind of go to the question of their communication. Like, who... From what your feel of it, who's calling the protections, and are they? I know it sounds ridiculous, but are they teaching CJ protections like Chris Sims is insinuating?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. They're for sure teaching CJ protections. He doesn't call it. I mean, it's just how they operate. You know, the Kyle Shanahan tree. Like, guys don't handle the center handles protection, and that's how it is in Miami. That's how it is in San Francisco. That's how it is probably in Green Bay. Obviously, that's how I was in New York when Saleh was there with Mike LaFleur, you know, with Zach Wilson. He was the center of Conor McGovern. He was handling the protection. That's just kind of how it goes. Juice is handling the protections. And guys have told me that he's doing a good job there. It's just more like there are times – it's just for me, it feels like it's more of a communication thing across the board. And, again, like Kenyon Green struggling there, and Juice sometimes also possibly here and there making the wrong line call. But, like, I had one guy tell me, like, there are times where, you know, the call might not even reach the tackle, right? Because a lot of the issues when it comes to pass protection sometimes happens obviously at home, but their bigger issues are on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell, like, guys really aren't on the same page because they can't, and you know, get the call all the way across the board. So I think it's more that than anything. I think maybe Juice can do a better job of, like, being vocal, making sure that everybody knows what it – because the center of the O-line is the quarterback of the O-line. So I think that CJ obviously is being top protection, but it's not his job. He's mentioned now he's wanted to, you know, at times take over that and, you know, call some protections, but that's, you know, that's not in his
– I think when you talk about those kind of things, and I'm on the same page with you, but I think that a couple of things can be true. I think Greg Cosell really nailed it in the fact that it's not to the level of David Carr and having CTE every time you drop back, but a lot of the issues are not just that there's the rush is coming, but in the internal clock in CJ's head, he's thinking, hey, I'm getting rushed a whole lot quicker than I was a year ago, no matter who was on the offensive line.
For sure. Yeah, no, I agree there. I mean, last year – his time to throw was close to 3 seconds, but, like, he was middle of the pack in the NFL in terms of pressure rate.
Right.
Which speaks to, like, the O-line was doing their job in terms of blocking. They just couldn't run block well enough. And now this year they're run blocking great, but they can't pass block very effectively. I think a lot of it, too, is, again, their O-line last year had more – I mean, granted, you know, Titus missed a decent amount of time. You had George Fant, but, you know, Shaq was playing a little bit better. They had more veterans on the interior. But then again, Jared Patterson played a lot at center. And I mean, I guess you could say Michael Dieter, just having that veteran presence might have helped a little bit too. But I also think teams have a better idea on how to attack Bobby Slowick's pass protections. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of this year, I don't want to use the word exposed, because exposed makes it seem like, you know, someone was a fraud.
Right.
And now you've exposed them for who they really are.
But you put it on tape enough and people start to understand that, hey, exactly. You know, it's not just the stunt, it's the spin, it's the way you react when you see what's coming, but you stay with it too long. There's a lot that goes into it, because throwing Strasser out there, to me, at first I was like, whoa, they're throwing him to the wolves and just letting him fend for himself. But then when you hear the things that he's talking about, it goes to what you just said, communication, and then the way that the continuity works on the offensive line, something's changed.
Yeah.
Because the three veteran guys, I don't know for whatever reason, but I would think those guys have the same level of communication. They've had the same level of experience. They are paid at a certain level to say they're supposed to be pretty damn good at their jobs.
Right.
And it's all the way across the board. It's easy to point at left guard, but it's continuity across the board.
Yeah, I know, which is so surprising. Because at the end of last year, that wasn't necessarily an issue, and you had four – well – get it. Granted, George Fant was playing at right tackle, but again, like, you still had like veteran guys and across the board. So I think it's more teams have a better idea on what Bobby likes to do, what his protection ideas are. Because even though, like, yeah, teams coming in, well, last year they could have an idea based off of what Kyle Shanahan did, but at the end of the day, that necessarily isn't going to be what Bobby does. And now they have a really, really good idea on what situation, what they like to call, and things of that nature. And they've been able to counter it. So, you know, unfortunately, they haven't been able to fix it.
I can't believe we've gone this far in the conversation without mentioning Nico Collins' name, which it's. I hope you can shed some light on this mystery, because, I mean, we heard the reports that, you know, he passed the test, he was ready to go, but then he wasn't activated Wednesday, Thursday, he's activated today. What do you take of this? Is this more gamesmanship, or is this...
When it comes to Nico?
Yeah.
But why did it take so long?
That's a good question. I mean, I think they were a little bit nervous. Basically, I've talked to, they were a little bit nervous and not, because they didn't want to re-aggravate it. And, you know, they're pretty cautious when it comes to hamstrings. They're very, like, I remember last year when Stingley hurt his hamstring, he was out 8 weeks. And I'm pretty sure he could have came back a little bit earlier, but he was out 8 weeks. So when it comes to hamstring, like, you know, again, like, Damian Pierce is out for a few weeks, and his wasn't, we didn't even see him get hurt on his hamstring. And he missed, like, I want to say 2 to 3 games. So sometimes they're just very cautious, and because they don't want it to pop back up. Because it's very clear with Nico, they need him. Like, no doubt. If they want to get anywhere this year, Nico has to be healthy, balling. Because I was looking at some of the numbers. When CJ had Nico, granted, he had Nico and Stephon. But with Nico, the first 5 weeks, he was third in passing, 10th in touchdowns, and 10th in passer rating. Since then, I think he's like 17th in yards. He's thrown like 4 touchdowns. And he's completing, like, I think he's like 18th completion percentage. So the drop-off is steep. Granted, the last 6 quarters have been without Stephon Diggs. But still, you still had Stephon and Tank. And you had your worst game of your career from a passing standpoint. And even the game where the Patriots put up 41, he only had under 200 yards passing. So it's been very clear. Granted, you know, O-line, things of that nature. So it's a multitude of things. But Nico was like his get-out-of-jail-free card.
Well, not only that, when you're talking about the perfect storm, you're dealing with offensive line issues. What's the way that you handle it? You go off script. You get out of the pocket. You move the pocket. You roll out.
Yeah, they got
who was the security blanket? Well, every time he got out of the pocket, he found Nico. The timing was there. The throws were there. He knew where he was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, Nico knew what he had to do. And now suddenly, look at the throw to Mechie in particular in the Jets game, where if that's Nico, that ball's right on time.
Yeah. I remember that because, like, you know, that was – that should have been a touchdown.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. It's funny. Like, there are 2 plays to match you where it felt like, you know, could have been really big plays in that game. And, you know, just not having that timing or now we say that confidence. Because I think he has pretty good confidence in Mechie. But at the end of the day, like, confidence in somebody and chemistry with somebody.
Right.
2 totally different things, right? Like, I can have all the confidence in the world that I can do radio with you and believe we can knock it out of the park. But we still got to build that chemistry. Granted, right. We hit it out of the park.
It's like Gallant's dating life. He can have all the confidence in the world, but where he struggles with is the chemistry.
That's true. You know, Gallant is a little bit of a lunatic. So that makes sense why, you know, he struggles there sometimes. But that's okay. We still love him.
Right.
But again, you know, not everybody can have chemistry like you and me at the horse racing track. You know what I'm saying?
We did a whole show. Yeah.
We did a whole show, 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, again, CJ has that chemistry with Nico, and it's dating all the way back to the second he was a starter last year.
No doubt. All right, so there's a little bit of the Texans nuts and bolts. Now let's get into the brass tacks of the actual Lions game stuff. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to continue with DJ Bieniemy, the beat writer for ESPN covering your Houston Texans. Before we do that, I do want to tell you about my good friend. Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure and at PRP treatments. If you don't know what that is, but you're struggling with hair loss, I'm here to tell you it's the answer. It's the answers that get you that lush hair that you always had when you were younger, and you don't have to worry about sprays and creams and foams and all the things that don't work and gimmick and mask the problem. It's actually a solution because it's your own hair. And what I found out when I had a consultation with Doc and his staff is that there's areas of your scalp, you're never going to lose hair, no matter how bald you go in other spots. And that means that the sides and the back of your head are always going to have hair. So therefore, he takes some of it in the neograft procedure and puts it where you need it most. Maybe you got a baboon's butt showing on the top of your head, and you always got to wear a cap. Well, with this, you don't have that, and now you get your hair back. Same thing with your forehead. If it's become an 8-head because your hair keeps creeping and you don't think there's anything you can do to stop it, the neograft will actually do that too. All you got to do is get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. And I said free, just like I got, because you listen to us. You listen to me, you want to talk to him, and you want the info, go to 975hair.com right now. Get a free consultation. Everybody off the street pays $150. You don't pay a cent. No signing on the dotted line. No money out of pocket. No commitment to be made. Just a Q&A after they explain everything to you to see if it might be the solution to your hair loss. It was for me. It was for Granado. It can be the same way for you too. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. They're right here in the Med Center. Go to 975hair.com.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, happy to say DJ Bienname is going to be with us for another segment right here for you leading into Sunday Night Football with your Texans and the Detroit Lions. The Thunder Kitties coming in, one of the hottest teams in the NFL, and your Texans trying to get right quick. As we've been talking about with the problems with the offensive line, the offense, getting Nico back, all those things. You look at it, DJ, and for me, it's like, look, watching that Green Bay game against Detroit a week ago, they were able to run the football. Josh Jacobs was able to run on the Detroit defensive line. We know that the one thing that has been right about the Houston Texans, even with the offensive line, is Joe Mixon has been a dog, D-A-W-G. He has been carrying this football team in a lot of ways. Can the Texans efficiently and successfully run the football against this Detroit team?
I think so. I think so. They've proven it throughout the year. When they have Joe, they can run the ball on damn near anybody. So I would say absolutely. And the thing is, they can do it. They can do it when it's in obvious run situations and when their passing attack isn't working and all they can do is run. And there's been times where they've still been able to run, which is very impressive, which is why Joe Mixon, every game he's finished, he's had over 100 yards rushing. The only game where he wasn't able to have that much success was against the Bears. He got hurt, but he got hurt in the third quarter, like early third quarter. He wasn't even having that much success in that game. But they've done a good job being able to run the football this year with Joe. And I think that'll continue. And it has to, because if not, because I don't think Nico's going to play this week, by the way. I want to make that
really
point. Yeah, they don't.
So you don't think they'll activate him?
Nah, they don't usually. One practice usually isn't enough for the Texans. I remember.
Now, you heard the national reports, and you heard Aaron Wilson and other people saying, "Oh, he's ahead of schedule, and he's running at full speed again, and all these things."
Yeah, but you know, sometimes they're cautious when it comes to soft tissue injuries, which is fair to them. So I think that if they can't run the ball, and they have to rely on their passing attack only, it could get pretty bad. Not pretty bad, but it could be very dangerous in a tricky situation. So,
Dom from Jersey is calling in, DJ, with a question for you.
For me specifically?
Dom, what's going on?
Killer Bees, Dom from Jersey is in the H. I will be there Sunday night. I'm here for my bachelor party this weekend, getting married. Excited about this Texans game. I'm excited about the roof being open. I'm excited about those fire red helmets. Nico's got to play. I don't want to hear it any other way. Freako Nico needs to play. He looked healthy today, dancing around on the field. He needs to be out there Sunday. We are going to dominate the Lions. I'm 0-12 seeing the Houston Texans live in person. That changes this Sunday. Go, boys. I'll be in the blue lot getting ready for this game. Go, Texans.
0-12, though?
Dom?
0-12?
I love you for calling all the time and being loyal to us. Your loyalty to the Texans is in question. DJ has every right to do that. Your loyalty to call in on an interview segment and not ask a question is something that needs to be questioned as well. And if you lose, you can call in and own it, but you are going to get hammered by everyone in the blue lot and everywhere else if you don't get a victory after all that.
0-12?
0-12 is crazy.
That's terrible.
That's Ted Cruz's record.
I would just stop showing up. 0-12? Like, how are you... Did with all his games in 2021?
No, he's spread out. Like, I think he goes to a couple a year or whatever. But, like, first of all, do you claim that out loud? Because that literally is something that you look at and go, you're bad luck, dude.
Yeah, 0-12. Let me see. I mean, I've never gone. I mean, you know, my record in games that I covered was pretty bad at one point. It was actually like
really
up until last season. I think the record in games that I covered had to be 7. No. Because 4 plus 3. Yeah. So 7. Do the math. 421.
You're not an analytics guy, are you?
37. So it was 731. 30. It was 7-37-1. Because the first year I ever covered the Louisville Cardinals was 2018 when Bobby Petrino got fired. And they went 2-10 that year. My first year covering the Jets, 4-13. My first year covering the Texans, 3-13-1.
I heard he wasn't a very good motorcycle driver.
I don't think so either.
No.
But that's okay. But I don't know if Nico's going to – I mean, I don't think Nico's going to play. So I know he should be out there. He's dancing all that, et cetera, but I don't know if he's going to
– So the odds are definitely completely stacked against
– Yeah, because – yeah, yeah, I mean –
How do they buck the trend? How do they beat the Detroit Lions? Yes, they're at home.
Stop the run. Because Jared Goff is
Foley going to play?
I don't think. I mean, it's
quite See, now that's a problem there then, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's not ideal. I mean, stop the run. Force Jared Goff into third and longs. I think he's like 25th in third and longs this year. I think he's third and long is like third and seven and longer. Force him into those situations. He's been good in those situations, but still, you have a higher success rate when you force teams into consistent third and longs. You got to be good in the red zone. You know what? Actually, it's going to come down to how they finish in the second half. I think they're going to be tight in the first half.
Well, we know they won't make adjustments.
I think they make adjustments. Well,
I'm just saying. Another point of contention.
It's something that's going on in the second half.
Yeah, there is. They're not scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. So their red zone efficiency goes from like 73% in the first half for touchdowns to 39% in the second half, 31st in the NFL. Their red zone efficiency is bad across the board. Defensively, it's roughly around the same in terms of percentages. Teams just don't get there as often, first half versus second half. But second halves, you know, when teams get there, they do capitalize for whatever reasons. But offensively, it's like, I think they've had 4 games this year where
good sound effect.
You better save that one.
They haven't scored touchdowns in the second half. Bears.
No, Bills. They've gone over 3 games without a touchdown in the second half.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Well, they've only outscored an opponent one time in the second half.
The entire season.
Patriots.
That's bad.
That's awful.
Yeah, I know.
So you're not exactly painting a picture of the utmost of success for the Texans on Sunday, because if Foley's out, they're going to have a tougher time stopping the run. We know that you want to get a pass rusher on the statue that is Jared Goff, and Will's not playing. I mean,
and now
Nico might not play. What the hell are we doing?
And Tank Dell popped up on the report.
Well, any given Sunday, if you can get Joe running, I think this is one of those games.
Joe's going to stop the run too, right? He's going to get there in the D line. Well, play both ways.
You can minimize the game, shorten the game just a little bit. You can shorten the game a little bit by running the ball effectively. But I would say this is gonna be a great opportunity for CJ to learn how to play like a game manager and really manage the game where, all right,
so you're going to out-golf Goff.
Well, I mean, you know, Goff has been pretty explosive this year. And so has
yeah,
so
5-yard, 10-yard passes.
Yeah, but that's what sometimes you got to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know CJ can do it. It's just not something we've been accustomed to doing.
He's more like he wants to cut your throat.
Right.
But this might be one of those games where you kind of got to like dink and dunk your way all the way up the field and be fine with being patient and being staying within the flow of the game and not trying to do too much, because a 3rd and 10 is basically a punt or a field goal. Right. So
to your point, you want to run clock too, right? Because you don't want to give a team that's been blowing the doors off a team
and
putting monster points on the board.
Right.
You know, as you want to limit how many times they touch the football.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that can help you, especially if you can run the football.
That's what happened in the Jets game. The Jets game reversed. That's what the Jets did to the Texans in the second half. They really like shrunk the game. I think they only had, if my memory's correct, I mean, they might have had like 4 possessions, because the Jets, I mean, obviously, unfortunately, they went touchdown. But all their touchdown drives were long. They weren't short drives.
Yeah, and again, adjustments were made all over the board. We just didn't see them. But but when you look at this game, it's like, well, what if they lose, right? Because everybody's so down already. Everybody's acting like this team, it's just, you know, the sky is falling. But if you lose to a good football team, the main thing is, are you competitive? Does the line look better? I don't know what that means, because you're already going to be pointing at, hey, you're not playing with Will. You're probably not playing with Foley. You're probably not playing with Nico. Brian asked, like, we saw Tank Dell show up on the injury report today.
He'll be fine.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear, because if you don't have Tank and you don't have Nico, well, then you might as well just freaking throw up the white flag.
Put Davis Mills in at that point.
Yeah, right. Let's go. Instead of going out on a limb, let's just stick our neck out and put Davis out.
Oh, God. That's a good dad joke.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I think that if they lose, right, even if it's not competitive, I don't want to say I don't care about this game, but for me, it's a loss. It doesn't change anything for me. A win will be nice, but that still doesn't change anything for me, right?
Okay, but it should if, and I don't recall where we were on this. If you thought they were an upper echelon, top three-ish team in the AFC, 3-4 in the AFC, then it should matter. Because I'm with you that with 4 days rest against the Jets and the Jets, you know, desperate and everything like that, for sure. I wrote that one off as a loss.
Yeah, me too.
But with this one at home on Sunday night, this is the one that I thought at the start of the season, hey, they're going to be competitive at home and they got a shot.
Yeah.
So if they get blown out.
Still wouldn't bother me.
Wow.
Because it's an NFC team. And if they want to, we talked about Super Bowl aspirations for this team. You don't have to beat any NFC teams to get to the Super Bowl. So that's kind of how I look at it. For me, my measuring sticks are, you know, what's going to be the Bills game, the Chiefs game, the Ravens game, and before the Dolphins fell apart, the Dolphins game. Those are going to be the main four. And I guess, you know, how you did it with the Colts and the Jags, but, you know, they're not good teams. And it was pretty clear once the season got here, you know, it was going to be the Texans' division to lose. So for me, it was always going to be those four games. And if they, let's say they get blown out by the Ravens or the Chiefs, now I'm waving a white flag, right?
And that's later in the season. Yeah, I get all that. Yeah. But I think that, again, it kind of goes back to what you deem to be a successful season. If they do what they did a year ago, they win the division, they win the opening round of the playoffs, they get to the divisional round and they lose, is that a success? A lot of people will say no, because the bar got set to a different level when you did what you did maybe a year or so ahead of schedule by doing what you did last year.
For sure.
And now suddenly you're looking at it and going, well, yeah, you can play a tough schedule and all things. I was kind of harping on at the start of the year, but even I started buying in. This team's better than I thought they were going to be. And then, to finish like that would suck.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, I agree there. But, you know, back to the NFC point, I mean, I remember when the Chiefs played the Bucks in 2020, the Chiefs ran all over the Bucks. And then when they saw them again later on in the season, the Bucks handled the Chiefs. So for me, when it comes to the interconference, rivalry games, things of that nature, those type of big games, like, they're cool for like Monday morning discussion and Tuesday afternoon discussion and things of that nature. But for me, when it comes to really evaluating this team, it's just still going to come down to like how they look in December. If they're handling business against the Chiefs, and the Ravens, like, those are like their true measuring sticks, because the Ravens defensively aren't that good, but Lamar is playing the best he's ever played.
Yep.
And if you show that you can't handle that, then, you know, I'm like, and the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs, you gotta, if you want to prove that you're legitimate, you got to beat them, not play the Chiefs close. Because when it comes to Chiefs, it's not about playing them close. You got to beat them to prove that you're a legitimate contender. And
I get your point on the NFC thing, but here's the rebuttal for me would be,
go ahead.
It's an NFC team, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you get your doors blown off, the voices are only getting louder about your O-line, if your O-line doesn't perform well.
For sure.
About CJ, if he doesn't have numbers and he doesn't perform well.
Yeah.
And then about every coach and everything in between, to where it's just going to keep, and then they say they're not listening, but then they say they're listening, and then it's like, this is going to steamroll.
For sure, but after the Lions game, they play the Cowboys, Titans, and Jags. And they'll probably go 3-0 in that stretch.
Probably.
They'll probably go 3-0 in that stretch. So, they'll be 6-4, but then in the blink of an eye, they'll be 9-4. And now what happened on Sunday Night Football on a random November?
What happens if Parsons and maybe Lawrence comes back when they run roughshod on the same offensive line and suddenly you are in?
The Jags are.
God forbid you lose to the Cowboys.
That'd be bad. Now,
now we're talking.
Because at that point, now you just lost to Cooper Rush and a team that is really, really fading, that doesn't, like, your strengths are the Cowboys' weaknesses, which is they can really run the rock.
Yep.
And get pressure, and the Texans can get pressure. So for me, if you lose that Cowboys game when you're built to beat the Cowboys, now we have bigger issues. But for me, it's more, you know, I think after, they'll lose this game, but after that, they'll be 9-4. And then it's really about how do you handle, because even though the record isn't good, I think that'll be a tough game, mainly because of their playmakers. Obviously, the Ravens game and the Chiefs game. And I think if you can come out of that stretch 2-1, are you good? But for me, the one, in my opinion, can't be the Chiefs game. That's just me. I feel like with teams like that, you have to give your team confidence that you can actually beat that team. Because think about it. Who on that team has actually beat the Chiefs in their career, like in a game that actually mattered, besides Joe Mixon?
Yeah, that's it.
Exactly. Like, Jimmy Ward hasn't.
Yeah, Diggs was in great games with them, but he didn't win.
Yeah, he's not playing in the game, right?
Nico. Right, but he would be a guy that at least had been there, but right, not done right. that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So,
in
like,
meaningful football time. I don't know if Danielle Hunter ever with the
that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. who, like, when it comes to teams like that, you have to beat them to give you. The reason why the Bengals can go toe to toe with the Chiefs no matter what's going on with them is because they've beaten the Chiefs when it's mattered most.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the Bills, they always beat the Chiefs in the regular season, but they always lose in the playoffs. And we've seen the Ravens, similar ordeals. Like, beating the Chiefs from a psychological standpoint matters because the Chiefs, in those close games, they have so much confidence because they know. Like,
well, plus, you know what? You also got the kryptonite that is the Baltimore Ravens and the fact that you cannot beat them.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be hovering over
your
head, too.
So for me, if they lose to the Dolphins but they beat the Chiefs and Ravens, all right, Super Bowl on. If they beat the Dolphins but lose to the Chiefs, they beat
Write this down, Brian. DJ says they're going to lose Sunday, and then they're going to end up 9-4.
Yeah.
Write it down.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. We have to live with our
predictions. Yep.
Yeah.
And then if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong and go on by my
Welcome to the world of awful announcing.
Yep. But again, like, I think they'll be 9-4. But if they can, you know, if they beat, I think I'll be happy if they beat the Dolphins, beat the Ravens, then I'd be good with that. I'd be totally good with that.
Don't let Jeremy Branham have that kind of ammunition. He has ruined Aaron Wilson. Telling you. He never forgets.
What forgets what?
When you make a prediction like that and it doesn't come true.
That's fair.
Because he never lets anybody forget that Aaron Wilson said that D'Amico Ryans was not going to be. just saying. All right, we appreciate you, brother. Thank you for hanging around for a little extra time, too. That is DJ Bienname. You can catch him as he covers the Texans for ESPN. He will be covering the game that he says they're going to lose on Sunday night. Not that I'm making any kind of a big deal about that. But rest assured, they're going to win the three games after that, so they're going to be fine. We're going to be fine, too. BMAC and I are going to have you all the way till 6 o'clock, coming back right after the break right here on ESPN. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Branham out. BMAC and I are in, taking you up until the top of the hour at 6 p.m., getting ready for a little Aggie basketball this evening, I believe, in about 30 minutes after we're off the air. But Brian and
Is that a Dave South impersonation?
Dave South of the Texas Aggies, that's what I'm talking about. That's the way Dave used to sound when he used to call games, the longtime voice of the Aggs. Brian, you heard what DJ said. Love having DJ in. Appreciate the extra segment and hanging with us a little bit with Jeremy. A little under the weather and having to do some other things, but not a breath of sunshine and rainbows when you're looking at not even his fault. I appreciate his honesty. I think that the big thing for me is you look at it and say, well, if you don't expect Nico to play, even if he did finally practice and Will's out and Foley might not play, well, even at full strength, this would have been an uphill battle. But if you're looking at it now, you're like, well, damn. You know, now it's like, how much is going to be written against us before we even take the field?
Yeah, no, if what DJ said is true, that Nico's not going to play, plus you're already dealing with Will Anderson, thankfully he said Tank's going to be fine and play, even though he popped up on the injury report today with a back injury. If all those things are true, it feels like the Lions should be bigger than a 3.5-point favorite, honestly. I think the thing that I was most encouraged with what DJ said is his expectation that the Texans should be able to run on the Lions. And it kind of fits up with the numbers, because you look at, like, overall the Lions per game on, like, a per game basis haven't allowed much. But then when you really think about it, it's partly because their offense is running up the score in these teams, and teams fall so far behind that they have to abandon the run. Because on a per-rush basis, the Lions are actually like 20-something in the league against the run. So they actually haven't been that good against the run. So if the Texans are able to, even with Will Anderson out, keep the Lions from running away from them and putting them in a spot where they have to abandon their run, then hopefully the run game with Joe Mixon and how great and explosive he's been makes up for some of the gap that you might lose with Nico possibly being out.
It just sounds like even if you do all those things and you have ball control and you have sustained drives and Mixon is having some success, there are just so many weapons that can beat you in such a talented offense, and they're really playing their best football right now, that it sounds like that's still a recipe for a game that, like you said, is more like a touchdown to a 10-point game than it is a 2.5 to 3-point game.
Yeah, look, I'm not feeling optimistic about something we didn't have a chance to get to with DJ there was like just the slot coverage that we've seen. We've talked about it with Petrie and his struggles, and maybe now that Akuda's coming back, there could be a future, you know, the not so distant future for the Texans where Kamari Lassiter slides inside. Maybe that helps fix some things if Akuda can man an outside corner spot. But I mean, Jameson Williams back, and Amon-Ra actually plays a lot in the slot, though he's our number one wide receiver. So we've seen how Petrie's gotten abused by the Jets. Josh Downs with the Colts has abused him. He's not good when manned up on a guy, on especially in obvious passing situations. He's basically a linebacker at safety. So I'm worried about, I mean, obviously a lot of things to the Lions because they're arguably the best team in the league, but that might be near the top of my list. If you can't get to Goff as much because Will Anderson's out and you have to deal with possibly Amon-Ra lining up against Jalen Petrie, that's going to be tough to deal with.
My big thing, Brian, is if I'm going to pick my poison and say, is it either on the offense or on the defense, I'm going to put it solely on the defense, because I think that if you can create a pass rush, you can make Goff a little bit uncomfortable and he's not going to outrun you. So I think that you can have an advantage there. If you can stop the run at all and the ends are holding the edge because they're getting some pressure into the backfield, now you're limiting what they can do offensively when they've been exploding. And then from the standpoint of, like you said, if your corners can at least initially hold coverage, because he does like to get it out of his hands quickly because he isn't mobile, and he does like to hit Amon St. Brown in the slot. We saw it against Green Bay last week where they run a lot either inside slot or outside out routes, even on the goal line, to where that's where the bread and butter is for St. Brown. But when you add the deep threat of Williams too, now it's everybody in your secondary, because now you've got to cover initially, but your safeties are going to have to give you the help you need over the top. And getting El Shaair back helps. But from a linebacker perspective, with Foley out, that's where it's going to be so key, that second level coming up to make sure that they don't run wild on you.
Yeah, I think I'm more afraid of the Lions offense right now than I am their defense. And their defense is good, but, I mean, a lot of the things you ran off there frighten me. I mean, I don't think they can stop this Lions rushing attack. One, because Gibbs and Montgomery are really good, but without Will Anderson, who's been really good against the run, obviously you're losing a guy that could set the edge. You're out Tim Settle, a guy in the middle. It's great that you get Aziz back, but that's still a spot at linebacker where they're a little thin, because obviously Christian Harris is not back till maybe week 15, like we heard earlier in the week. I don't know if they can stop the run, and I have no as little confidence I have as them being able to stop the Lions rushing attack. I have even less faith that they could stop whoever the Lions put in their slot. And even if that's not Amon-Ra, they could put, you know, obviously Jameson Williams, who's back from his latest suspension there, and he's got the speed to burn Jalen Petrie. And Sam Laporta hasn't had a great year, but I don't think his talent's dropped. They just haven't needed him. Maybe he's the guy that beats you over the middle field. So the Lions just have so many options. Down Settle, down Will Anderson. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that, you know, we don't want to be the Debbie Downers, but the reality is that you call what you see. And even at full strength, as we were talking about with DJ, that this was going to be a tough matchup. But if you're going to go into this football game and tell me the guys that are going to be super important to doing some of the things you need if you're going to stop this team are going to be out, well, then you've got real issues. Because even at linebacker, you know, you got a guy like White who you added. But is White going to be a guy that can help you on the D-line? No, probably not. You're going to be relying on Autry, but Autry's probably already going to be on the outside because he's going to be filling in for Will Anderson, and you're going to have DEs that are going to be, you know, rotating throughout the defensive line and moving around. That sets up beautifully if you put outside pass rushers inside to the fact that Montgomery and Gibbs are going to have their way. And so it's all problematic. You hope for the best, but I think right now most people, if you ask them, are expecting the worst. So we'll see what happens. All right, well, let's hope for a Texans victory. Well, you know what this time of the day it is, and with Jeremy out, we get to avoid my least favorite segment of the week because we can avoid mean text. But it is time for the car wreck of the day on a Friday for you guys leading into the weekend.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! Give me your f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Well, you heard the man. We do it now 5 days this week. Brian, let's let you lead it off once again as I throw to you. Your first nominee would be.
This got buried amongst a great game last night and also got buried by the ending with the terrible refereeing, and that's another nominee. But John Harbaugh in the first quarter when the Bengals, I think, scored on the very first drive of the game, threw the challenge flag and lost, and I don't even really care that he lost because he challenged over 3 yards on a non-scoring play. But in the first quarter, like, it was first and goal from the five. The Bengals threw a 3-yard pass that would have been second and goal with the two, or if they were successful with the challenge, second and goal from the five. Like, I am not challenging over. You only get 3 challenges, and you challenge over 3 yards in a non-scoring play that really doesn't change the momentum or the outcome at all of that possession. I thought it was a very poor use of a challenge in that situation.
Seems like premature speculation to try and throw the flag at that point in the game.
Well, it's just like, Bill O'Brien did this all the time, but challenging over 3 yards in the first half, it's
insignificant.
Unless it's picking the difference between a punt and extending the possession, sure, 3 yards, of course. But 3 yards when it has no bearing I can't use a challenge on
I'm
that.
I'm with you. Same game, but different theme, and that is exactly what you touched on. You can't on national TV, with everybody watching what was an outstanding football game, miss the calls that they missed on the final on the 2-point conversion. Whether you want to call the holding or not, or the pass interference is one thing, but if you're not going to call Joe Burrow getting smacked in the dome piece and then the face mask being tugged on the way down, you're doing a disservice to the game, the fans, and everybody that's watching that game last night.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about earlier in the show, it wasn't just one, it wasn't just two, it was 3 missed calls on that 2-point try. Gasecki clearly got held. The defender grabbed his shoulder pad and dragged him to the ground. And then they missed 2 on Joe Burrow, yep. The smack to the helmet, like you mentioned, in the face mask. And they missed a face mask on Joe Burrow earlier in the drive. I mean, I've never, or at least rarely ever, a guy to say...
Oh, you're Ben DeBose and you know it.
No, that you know that's 100. Ben DeBose blocked me. I am the 180 of Ben DeBose. But yeah, the referees blew that one.
No doubt. That's where I'm going. That's my car wreck of the day. I don't know if you agree or not.
Yeah, let's make
car
it the car
wreck
of the day.
The zebra stripes of the officials in last night's football game. That'll do it for another successful week of the Killer Bees. We appreciate you being a part of the Hive. For Brian McDonald and for Jeremy, who we hope gets better real soon, we'll talk to you Monday, everybody. Stay tuned for a little national program before Aggie basketball at 6:30 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.